24672.
We don't have an appellate.
He's not here yet.
Oh, okay. 24419. 24419?
Yes.
Come on up.
Please come forward.
Is your appellate here, sir? I thought he was.
I believe my client is here.
He's right, he checked in.
He's on his way.
Oh, okay.
He's right there.
Morning, would you identify yourself, sir?
That is funny.
Nope, nope, no, don't worry about talking into that, just talk to us, thank you.
Officer Heath Erickson from Killeen Police Department.
Thank you. And your attorney, Miller?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, cool.
You don't need to.
Just appellate.
It's our understanding there are active protective orders in this case.
There are not. They have been dismissed. I provided copies of the dismissal to the board with a copy. Did you receive that?
I did, and I confirmed with the court that day.
That they have been dismissed?
The case was dismissed, and the protective order was lifted on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Yep.
Do we have any evidence of that?
Well, they both agree on it.
Would you explain?
About the dismissal?
Greg, is this the, because you sent us one that we couldn't read. It was like blacked out.
Correct, that is correct.
But is this the?
That is the dismissal. We got the sheet for the dismissal. I have another copy here.
But does it have to do with the protective orders also?
It does.
And officer, you agree that the protective orders have been dismissed?
Yes, when I sent the email that day, I got an email in return from the attorney. I called from the county state's attorney's office, talked to the state attorney's office, and they confirmed that it was dismissed that day, and the protective order was withdrawn.
So are you gonna, are you moving forward with your case then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't know about, I knew you, no, no, I wasn't worried about you, sir.
When we initially did this, it was prior to even that happening. We saw that this week when we're coming back for the hearing. So it was initially denied by us for suitability back in 2023 for the rest of 2022.
So you're not willing to reissue the permit now?
No, he's moving forward on suitability.
Okay, so tell us what you have to say.
In November 2023, I was issued a background check for a pistol permit for the appellate. And during the background of the pistol permit, looking into the lease, CSB reporting records, we work out a troop D. Officer Jehol from our office arrested the appellate for a domestic disturbance where he threatened to, basically said he was gonna shoot her myself, which was the stepdaughter. The appellate was arrested for disorderly conduct. When the officer spoke to the appellate, he asked if he had any weapons, and he said he did not. So that's one of the reasons why we denied the suitability. When we looked at it in November '23, the case was dismissed. It was dismissed, I don't know what date it was, but it was dismissed prior to us looking at the investigation 2023. Prior to this hearing, when we looked up to get down here, we saw that he had an active arrest from last December of 2024 for the same victim, where he was arrested for disorderly conduct by Troop Amara from Troop D Danielson Barracks. And during the investigation, the victim had red marks on her shoulder blades. He was arrested for disorderly conduct, and a protective order was issued.
I'm going to object, just ask the questions whether or not, this is from personal recollection.
Yes.
Very good.
So during the investigation, then this week, we found that he did have an active protective order, which we emailed, and then it was, on Tuesday, it was withdrawn because the case was dismissed.
So there were incidents in 2022 and 2024?
Yes.
But all have been dismissed now?
Both have been dismissed.
Okay. Questions from the board? Would you like to cross-examine Attorney Miller?
No.
Questions from the board? Attorney Miller?
Good. There. It's admitted there is no protective order at the moment. I understand it's only very recently been dropped. My client has had a difficult history with the daughter, and I'm going to allow him to speak to that. And at this point, I would ask the appellant, I'd like to ask him a few questions here. Sir, with your daughter, there's been a couple of incidents. Are the basis of those incidents, what is causing this friction within the family?
Well, both daughters have bipolar disorder.
Could you speak up?
Both daughters have bipolar disorder. My significant other is also a clinician for the state of Rhode Island, and I've seen the daughters beat their mother, things like that. Basically, I've had to shut up and put up, and I have done a very good job. I've been with her for 12 years. And that being said, there was an escalation 2 years ago. She attacked her mother, and I told her to knock it off. And I had told her, you know, got into word exchange, and all I said to her was, I'm sorry that nobody's shot you yet, jokingly, you know, because it's something like my mother said when we were kids, if one of you don't knock it off, I'll shoot the both of you. You know, now you can't say any of that. And I'm 67 years old. I was brought up differently through a farm family and everything. Everybody pulled their weight and did what they had to do to keep things going. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen that way today. So, you know, that being said, and then I had cancer last year, and they were able to remove it. Didn't have to go through chemo or radiation. So I was home recuperating. On that night, at about 12:30, she comes running into her mother's room. Now her mother had surgery 3 days after I did. And her daughter picked her up that morning. And she, I guess, caught her mother doing something that she was, and she yells and screams and she goes from one extreme right to another. So anyways, that being said, she had taken and woke up the house. I have two large dogs. They were going nuts. So I'm trying to calm the situation down. And then she took and started coming at me. So I had staples in my stomach for my surgery still. And she came at me, and I just stood there. She bounced off my stomach and went against the door frame, which put a mark on her arm, just a slight red mark. And then the police came, and she told the police that I body slammed her. Never touched her, never did any of those things. But needless to say, being that it's domestic, and the way the state handles that, somebody has to leave, somebody has to basically, I wouldn't say get punished, but disciplined. So anyways, that's what happened that night. And I'm also a former member and a life member of a hunting club in my community. We do charities, we help the community, we also do fundraisers for the police department and other functions. We have a few members that are former police officers, and that's basically it. I mean, I can't think of anything more pertaining to this case as far as what, you know, happened. I apologize that it did happen, but you can only poke the bear so much. And I've been evaluated, and they dismissed it. I got video recordings of her episodes on my phone. Attorney Miller has heard those, and they were threatening us, but you know, I wouldn't have her arrested for that. Trying to get her out of the house and calm down instead, because I'm a male and she's a female. They took me, and now this is why I'm here.
What's the relationship like today?
It's fine. I no longer live in the home. I purchased my father's home. He died. You know, he was also a Marine. I come from the largest family of Marines. My father had 11 brothers, 9 of them were in the Marine Corps. Most of my cousins and also my son is a special agent for our government. And, you know, I'm no longer with his mother. I'm with my second wife. Like I said, we've been together 12 years, and we've been trying to calm this situation down, get medication for her. She will not do it. Both of them, we've had problems with in the past, and you know, it's just a sad situation, so I had to remove myself from the situation. And I am currently living in Marlborough, Connecticut.
Oh, I just had one or two
questions. You're living where?
In my dad's home.
In what town?
Our family farm in Marlborough, Connecticut.
That's a problem.
So, yeah, you're aware, Attorney
I was
Miller?
Not aware of this. Okay. The issue here is the fact that the application is in Killingly.
Right. Okay.
If you are no longer a resident of Killingly, the application, you said that you're living in the house there.
Well, because I'm fixing it up right now, but I'm at both places. I still reside at the Danielson house on the weekends and part-time during the week when I have appointments.
Where do you vote, sir?
In Danielson right now.
And your driver's license, where is
that? Danielson, 39.
I think our position would be that legally he is still a resident of Danielson. He's merely temporarily out of the house while all of this resolves. But I think from a legal standpoint, Danielson is still his legal address. I'm sorry, Killingly. The Killingly would still be his legal address for it, so I think that still is where the permit would have to be filed. I probably should have had that cup of coffee. So if he votes in Killingly, his driver's license in Killingly, he still owns a home in Killingly. He still has the right to be in that home in Killingly. The fact that he's spending time in the other house at the moment, I don't think that per se would change where legally he would have to apply for a permit.
Questions from the board on that issue?
So your intention is to move back to the other house permanently, full-time?
Eventually, once, you know, daughter's no longer there, but living in my dad's house right now, trying to get it cleaned up. We're trying to decide whether we want to sell the farm or sell our house and move there, and that's when I'll take and change everything over.
So what's eventually?
Probably in a couple of years. I don't know what to do.
So if he plans on living in Marlborough for a couple of years, I think that's sort of a...
No, I'm saying Danielson. I'm not going to be in Marlboro for a couple of years because I have a lot of work to do to the house.
How long do you think you'll be in Marlboro?
I'm there off and on. I, you know, until I sell the place, I got to get it up and running. And my father was 90 years old, and, you know, it made it hard for him to try to get things.
We're just trying to establish your residency.
Yes.
That's what we're trying to establish.
I guess the converse way to ask this question is, would it be appropriate for him to apply for a pistol permit in the other town, given the fact that he still owns a house here, the fact that he, you know, still has every right to reside within that house, he's still voting there, his driver license is still there. Essentially, this is a case of an individual who's got two homes, he's got full legal right to be in either of them. I think an application is still appropriate as filed.
Yeah, I think what kind of flummoxed us a bit is that he represented in his testimony that he no longer lived there, he moved to this other house, presenting the fact that he's away from this situation, it was not the most favorable.
Yes.
So he's kind of trying to have it both ways.
Yeah.
I certainly understand the question, but I think from a permit standpoint, the appropriate jurisdiction for the permit is still as applied, despite the fact, you know, it's not his home, it's the family home that's over there. He says he's fixing it up. Clearly he intends for that to be temporary.
I guess that means that there will be times that he's back in the home in a situation where that he described, where there's some conflicts going on.
I'll let my client respond to that. The question here is, you have the right to be in both homes. Mm-hmm. You say you're temporarily in the other home. If you had to go back to the home here, is there a way to avoid conflict? What would you do?
Yes.
How would you respond to that?
Well, she lives in the basement apartment with her boyfriend, and I, you know, if she has an episode, I, you know, either leave or go and let her mother take care of it. I don't engage. I don't have nothing to do with that. And like I said, I have two homes. One is my father's, who I'm trying to get straightened out and see what we're going to do with that. We haven't made those decisions yet. Me and my significant other, I love very much. She's a really good person. She has a handicap. She was born with a club arm. So I'm her right arm, you know? I mean, I take care of her, and she takes care of me. So she's had problems with her daughters throughout, and it's tough because a mother's love is unconditional no matter what, you know, and I understand that and I respect that and I have consideration for that.
Thank you.
Anything else, Attorney Miller?
Yeah, one or two things just fairly quickly here. Mr. Daigle, you indicated you're 67 years old.
I will be in April.
Other than these incidents with your daughters, who you describe as having mental health issues, any incidents with any other people there?
No.
Person who tends to get into arguments or road rage or things of that sort?
Meaning her?
No, you.
Oh, no.
Oh, right. You mentioned the fact that you're a member of a gun club. How long have you been a member of that gun club?
I've been a member there for about 18 years. Because I had turned 65, because of the bylaws of the club and everything, I became a life member. And, I've been doing what I do since I was a child. Like I said, my family come from farming in northern Maine. Both grandfathers had 1,000-acre potato farms. And that's what we did, you know. And we did the same thing with my son. And he's now protecting this great land of ours, you know, helping to protect this great land of ours.
Have you had a hunting license?
Yeah, I've had a hunting license since I was old enough to get one back then. Matter of fact, my NRA course was taken at Marlboro Fish and Game Club when I was still in school, I forget.
50 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Very long time. And so obviously, you know, the board is looking at it. The board's obviously going to consider the fact of, that this was recently dropped, but I have nothing further.
Officer, would you like to cross-examine?
Ma'am, we have nothing further.
Questions from the board?
What's the age of the daughter that you've...
She now is currently 25.
Okay.
And still lives with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't had any incidents. I stay away from that.
On both incidents, who contacted the police?
To try to de-escalate it.
So you called the police on both incidents?
Yes, sir. To try to de-escalate it because it was to the point where, and I have a video of my voice being calm during her yelling and screaming through the door. I also have pictures of the door that she punched. You know, it's sad, you know, because I do care about her, you know.
And your significant other, is it sort of your stepdaughter?
Well, we've been together 12 years, so, yep. No, she's and my stepdaughter.
That's what I meant, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, you know, and, you know, it's sad, their situation, that they had to see their mother be abused when they were quite young by their father. Their father, you know, cheated on the mother, or so on and so forth. You know, things happened. You know, so it was sad, but Joanne's a great person. She helps a lot of people with drug and alcohol addictions as well as gambling. She works for the state of Rhode Island in that aspect. She's also an assistant director at the ACI with a program that is funded, and it's called Starburst. It's children with, women with small children that are incarcerated and trying to give them.
And your significant other, she's living at the home in Danielson?
In Danielson, yes, sir.
I have nothing else, ma'am. I don't know.
Where are your guns?
They're locked up at one of my members of the club who has permits and everything. And then once we get through this, if I can, I'll get them back, you know, with the proper signing over. We have to go to a gun show.
So they're not back in Danielson?
No, they're. I will not keep anything there. I forgot completely. It was only one pistol. And I completely forgot. And then they asked me when I was at the barracks, do you have any guns? And I says, yes. Where are they? And I told them it was in the closet. There was a BB and a pellet gun, but I didn't realize I still had that one in there. But that was the only one.
Thank you.
Other questions? Would you like to make a final statement, Attorney Miller?
If I may first, just for my own clarity, how many daughters are there?
Two.
And they...
We have two beautiful grandchildren.
Okay.
And the other one, she doesn't live at home. The other one, the youngest one, lives at home.
The 25-year-old daughter still resides in the home?
Yes.
What are the living quarters like? Where does she stay in the home?
She stays in a little apartment that we made downstairs. So she has her own entrance and whatnot. I very seldom see her because, I mean, I work for the casino,
yeah.
Foxwoods. I also hold a gaming license and all that. And I have never been in trouble with the law since
No.
Except for these, except for the two incidents.
Right.
So the living conditions, your stepdaughter lives in the basement apartment with a separate access to the home? Okay. And you, how long have you had firearms?
All my life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before they had the laws come out, since, you know, they had a problem in Newtown several years ago and everything.
Yeah.
You know, which needed to be changed.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with some, you know, some of it, but I'm quite sure, you know.
Let me ask a question. After the protective orders, your firearms were taken.
Good.
And you have them back at this point?
I don't have them back in my position, possession. They're my longtime friend and hunting, you know, club member who has permits and everything. And he took and had to come.
He took possession of those on your behalf? Okay.
Right, exactly. And that happened at.
Understood.
At the Danielson Barracks.
Thank you, guys. That's what I need to know. Appreciate it.
Okay.
I have one follow-up. Just a quick follow-up. This is an, you didn't have a pistol permit prior to this?
No, I had purchased that one. I have all hunting rifles.
Yeah, no, I was just asking because this is.
This is the pistol that I had. I mean, my father's had pistols and everything.
No, I'm just asking. You've never had a pistol permit prior to, before this?
No, because I was filing for it, trying to get everything. Yep.
So this is your first, no, I'm just saying, this is your first application for a pistol permit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? No, Attorney Miller.
Very brief.
Sorry.
My client's had firearms all his life. He's a hunter, belongs to a sportsman club. He manages to get through decades and decades of life without ever having a problem. I think every member of this board is aware of how difficult it is dealing with a bipolar family member. Incidents occurred there, they've been resolved, there's been no incidents since then. Given the totality of it, I think the probability that my client would act inappropriately in the future is very low. There's no convictions. I think he has spoken in a forthright manner. Given the totality with it, I think as we sit here today, he is of suitable character for a pistol permit.
Officer, are you a final statement?
No, ma'am.
Colonel Overture.
This is a denial by the Killingly Police Department. The denial's for suitability. The basis of the denial initially was a domestic violence arrest in 2022. It was in a verbal incident, allegedly threatened to shoot his stepdaughter. Subsequently, there was another arrest involving the same stepdaughter in 2024. Both of those cases were dismissed. There were protective orders issued in both cases. They have now expired. The appellant, 67 years old, has been a lifelong hunter, has no criminal convictions, and says the daughter that he is involved with, or stepdaughter he's involved with, lives separately, even though it's the same residence, has her own apartment.
Okay. Comments from the board? Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Evangelist.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant.
Chair votes for the town. It's 5-1.